Samach Beis. So yesterday we were discussing an argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan about when you have a min ha-Torah type of ribis, which is basically what they call ribis ketzutza, fixed ribis, which is the standard case of a loan. I lend you $100, I'll make you pay back $110. That's ribis, min ha-Torah. And on that, Rabbi Elazar said that you can take to court and get the ribis taker to give it back. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can't. Not only ribis de Rabbanon can you not make him give back in court, but even ribis de HaTorah. So we then had, just to recap, we had in the bottom Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, what's the reason, Rabbi Elazar v'chei achicha imach, that Rabbi Yochanan says that you have to, sorry, Rabbi Elazar says that you have to, that is the pasuk that talks about don't take interest, it says so that your brother will live with you. That means you have to return it. If you ripped him off and took the interest, you have to return it so he can live with you. And Rabbi Yochanan used the pasuk v'chei achicha imach for the famous case of that Rabbi Akiva brings, that if there's one jug of water enough for only one person in the desert, there's two people in the desert and the water's enough for one of them, if they both drink, they'll both die. And Rabbi Akiva says the guy who has it should drink it, because you only have to worry about the other guy if you're going to live, but you come first. So that was where we got up to, about, 10 lines down-ish. The end of the line, Mesevei, we're up to. At the end of the line finishes with Mesevei. So now we have a question. The question is, Hiniachra Mavia Mois, we quoted this a bit yesterday already, I think, that if a father dies and he leaves in the estate mo'is shal ribis, some money that he acquired by virtue of taking interest from somebody they lent money to, afal pisha yoidim shehen shal ribis, even though the kids know that money was acquired by taking interest, einan chayav l'hachzer, they don't have to return it. Yeah, so because we had that pasuk yesterday that we liked about the tzaddik prepare and the kids wear. Yeah, so that's all very nice, but what do we learn from that? That means the kids don't have to return it. What's the diuk of that? That the father himself, if he's still alive and he wants, and he's caught and claimed from, chayav l'hachzer, he has to return it. Yeah, so that seems to be a proof that Rabbi Elazar is correct, that you have to return it. And it's kasha to Rabbi Yochanan. His answer is Rabbi Yochanan, bidinu davoi namile mechayav l'hachzer. Really, even the father, you couldn't take him to court and make him give it back. He doesn't have to give it back. So why does it then mention Dafke, the kids don't have to give it back? Because Aidi Dikoboilim is the safer. Because it wants to go on in that brisa to learn the next case, which is to do with the kids. So it starts off with the kids. What's the case in the safer? That if Hiniach Lamaviyam Pora Vitalis V'chaldover Mesuyam, if he left not money, but he left an actual object, a cow or a talis or anything where you can look at it and go, oh, that's Yehuda's cow. What's it doing with them? Yeah? So then it looks bad. It looks, oh, the father must have been a ganif. Yeah? So then it's going to be humiliating. Is then chayov and laharsiv nekovet aviyah. They need to give it back, because then people will talk about him and it won't be honorable for the father. But if it's money, no one's going to know. If they're walking around with some money in their wallet, no one knows that money came from interest. They're not going to go, oh, that's Yehuda's money. Any money is money. You don't know whose it is or where it came from. So therefore, because he wants to mention that case, that if it's an actual object that belonged to somebody else, that then they do have to give it back, because otherwise people will talk about the father. It's Taranami Reisha Bidinhu. So the Reisha also mentioned the kids. But really, Bidinhu is that the father, according to Rabbi Yechon, the father doesn't need to return interest either. Okay, now the Gemara as Vaita, that's all very nice, but let's talk about the kids. What did we say? Vahani, mipnei kovet avia mimechavi. This is a different question. This isn't about interest anymore. This is about the last bit that we just said. If the father left them an object that everyone knows belongs to somebody else, they have to return it. Why? In order for the honor, to uphold the father's honor. Otherwise, everyone's going to be talking about him forever, that he's a ganav. Yeah, so the question is, are they obligated to return it just to uphold his honor? Kari kam, but the pasuk says, it says, literal translation, a nasi, a leader of your people, you shall not curse. Yeah, and there's darshan that admit really applies to anybody. You're not allowed to curse somebody. That means you have to treat people with respect. But when do you have to treat someone with respect? But I say ma'aseh amcha, if he acts like your like your nation. Yeah, in other words, he keeps the halachas. If he's not a ganif, then you have to have respect for him. But if he's a ganif, then you don't have to have respect for him. So just because Yenem is a ganif, therefore I have to return something that I've got in my possession. And for the Gemara, Kita Omar, Rav Pinchas Mishmei de Rava. Just like Rav Pinchas Mishmei de Rava says later on in Daf somewhere, yeah, in Chagiga Daf Chavav, Besha Asa Tshuva, we're talking about a person who did Tshuva. When do we call him? We call him an Oysa Maisa Amcha, because even though what he did was he was a ganif, but since then he did Tshuva. Yeah? And therefore, he's now, you have to worry about his covet. So therefore, Hachanami, in this case, also Bishasa Tshuva. So the father did Tshuva, therefore the kids have to worry about his covet, and therefore they have to give back if it's a Dover Mesuyim. Fredi Gemara, what do you mean he did Tshuva? He Yasa Tshuva, my boy Gabay, if he did Tshuva, how come he still has the stolen thing? He should doing Tshuva when he steals something entails returning it. So why is he still got it and now the kids have it? And for the Gemara, like he speak Lahasir Achameis. He did Tshuva and he said, yes, I'm sorry, I stole it, I'm going to return it. And he was just about to grab the cow and schlep it to the other guy's house and he dropped it. So now the kids have the cow. So then they have to return it because of the covenant of the father. Okay. So that's that one. Now, Meisvei Vaiter, to try to prove who's right out of Rabbi Lozov and Rabbi Yochanan, do you have to return interest that you took or not? Meisvei HaGazlonin Umalvei Ribis. Gazlonim is robbers, and people who lend with interest, and yeah, Afal Pishe Gavu, even though they collected the money already. So you're not allowed to make a deal where you're lending with interest, yeah? What happens if you made a deal and you collected the interest and now it's later sometime, you've got the money already, is even though the deal is over, so to speak, and you've already collected the money, you have to return it. Seems like Rabbi Lozer, yeah? So the question, first question is, gazlonin, what do you mean gazlonim? What do you mean govel? Govel means you collected. It's implying that you're collecting something that, you know, you had a right to collect or some reason to collect. A gazlan doesn't collect things. A gazlan steals things. So what do you mean, my afal pisha govu iko? There's no govu. There's no collection by a gazlan. He just steals. E gozel, gozel. If he stole, he stole. And e loy gozel, if he didn't do it by stealing, gazlanim karisalu, what are you calling him a gazlan for? You should call him something else. Ela ema gazlanim. But say it like this. What's the words of the braisa? Gazlanim. What sort of gazlanim are we talking about? And we're talking about my nihu malve ribis, because we're saying that he's a crook, yeah? So we're calling him a gazlan colloquially. Not literally that he put a gun in the head and said, give me your money, but because he took interest, so he's a crook. So he's called a gazlan, a thief, yeah? Is malve ribis, is afal pisha govo machzirin. Even they collected the interest, they have to return it. Yeah? So that seems to be a clear proof to Rabbi Lozor and Akasha to Rabbi Yochanan, because we have a braisa which says that they have to return it. So the Gemara concludes over here, Tanoihi. Yep, that Tana definitely holds they have to return it, but in the end it's a Machloikas Tanoim. Yeah, so Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yochanan are siding with two Tanoim.
Are they arguing whether you have to return it or whether it's enforceable in court?
Same thing. If you have to return it, that means if I take him to court, then the Bezdin will tell him he has to return it.
But isn't it, could you say it's also a bit like if you don't pay back Kechlevel Shviz, but if you do, Lachachomim Lechavim. So you're asking, is it in that
case? Perhaps. Okay. We're talking about have to. When I say you have to, I mean enforceable. Yeah. Same. The Gemara here is not mechalik.
Yeah.
It's not mechalik here. Enforceable and have to, same thing. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara concludes Tanoi, it's a machlekes Tanoim. The Tani within the Braisa, we have Rav Nechemia, Rav Elazar ben Yankiv, Poitrim es Hamalva ve es Ha'orev. They say in a case where interest was taken, they don't get malchus. Poter doesn't mean they did the right thing, right? Anybody involved in a transaction where interest is being charged is naughty, yeah? But the question is, do you get malchus for this loisase? So Reb Nechemia and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov say, the malva, the lender, and the guarantor don't get malchus. Why not? And they sheyesh b'ham kumasei, because they have a positive mitzvah. We know that malchus applies to a negative commandment, yeah? But what happens if that commandment has an assay attached? Lav hanitak la'assay, where the antidote, if you like, to the lois assay is now you can do something positive to make up for it. Yeah? You're not allowed to leave noiser.
And that's when returning you have, the money.
Oh, so yeah, that's that. Well, that's what we're assuming. It doesn't actually say. All it says is there's a kumase. So the Gemara's going to discuss in a second. Yeah, so what's the classic example, novel nita klase, is noiser. Yeah, what does it say by noiser? Don't leave the meat of the kachim till the morning, yeah, when it's overtime, overdue. But you don't get malchus. Why not? Because if you did, burn it. You have a loise siri menewad boker, but hanoiser menewad boker beish tisroifu. So therefore, the punishment for that is not a punishment. You have to do the assay, which fixes it up. Yeah, but so there's no malchus. So they're saying that this is a lava nita klase. That means if you took money with interest, if you're a malva, and you lent money with interest, and you collected the interest, you now have a kumase. So what's the kumase? So the Gemara says, my kumase, what possible positive action is there now to make up for the fact that you took interest? Lav, mishum d'amrin, lehu kumu ha-doir. It must be that they say, we tell them, go and give it back, and that will be your kapara. Yeah? Go and give back the interest you took. So that's Rabbi Nechemya and Abelezer ben Yankiv, who say there's no malchus, and it looks like there's a Tanakama in this price, which we didn't actually mention, but for this, the Gemara says, Miklala Tanakama, there was a previous guy before Rabbi Nechemya and Abelezer ben Yankiv who said that he does get malchus. They say there is malchus for the lender and the guarantor, because, must be because they don't give it back, so therefore there's a lois asay, you transgress the lois asay, you get malchus. So,
with getting malchus, you still have to give it back, you know? Would be the right thing to give it back. You can't get malchus.
No, on the contrary. If you don't have to give it back, so then there's no assay attached to the lois assay. You stole it, it's farfal. There's no way to atone for that, so you get malchus. Whereas if you say that you have to give it back, so the way to atone for taking it is to give it back. If you say you're not giving it back, so the atonement is they whack you with the straps. Yeah? So that's the argument between the Tanoim. So the Gemara says, loinei, no, it's not such a machlekes. Even the ones who say kumase, it doesn't mean the assay is to give back. Yeah, it's not a proof for Rabbi Lozor. Why? Because my kumase, my kumase, the crash star. We're not talking about where he collected the money already. They wrote a star, and the star says that he's lending him $100 and he has to pay back 110. Yeah, so the malva made the star, and the guarantor signed on the star. So why don't they get malchus? Because they should rip up the contract now. He hasn't collected the money yet. Yeah? So therefore, that is the kumase. I mean, it's still machlokes tanoim, by the way, because the other brisa was for sure to quote Rabbi Lozor. Yeah?
Was there something in yesterday's Gemara, only the malva or just the loiva over at the time?
They're all over.
Even before the money goes out?
They're all over. We didn't talk about exactly when it was. When are they over? Yeah, I don't think we talked.
Are you over when you enter the transaction? Yeah. Are you in transaction? Or are you when you hang out of interest? No, we didn't talk about.
I don't think we talked about that yesterday. You could be right. If you can tell me. We're talking about it here.
One of the differences. You probably looked in the life was that.
You probably looked ahead to this. That's why. Okay. Anyhow, so it says over here, what's the kumase to rip up the contract, not to give back the money once you collected it. But before you collected it, you give it the rip up the contract. So the Gemara says, how is ripping up the contract going to work over here? Why is that a make it a lava nita klase? My kasava, what does he hold regarding contracts? E kasava staro emid ligves kigobi domi. There's a concept that one opinion holds that if you have a contract which is enforceable, it's as if you already collected it. So ripping up the contract, it's like he already collected it, it's not going to help. So if he has to give it back, then he's give it back. He doesn't have to give it back. He doesn't have to give it back. Ripping up the contract, it's too late, in other words. Yeah, if it's kigobu domu. Ha'avdu isarai. They already did the yisur. So what does it help you to rip up the contract now?
So in other words, the moment you entered into a shtar, it's as though you've collected it. Even though you didn't rip up the shtar, you can't collect.
Yeah.
The shtar's not there anymore.
But he still owes you the money.
So let's
say he lent it to him for 30 days. And at the end of 30 days, he has to give him $110. And the 30 days is up. So it's a shtar emid ligbois. He hasn't got around to collecting the money yet, but he's entitled to. It's kigobu domi. So at that point, the guy owes him the 110.
So when the 30 days comes around.
But yeah.
The 30 days, what's the status?
Then it's not emid ligbois.
So it's not emid ligbois, so nobody's over yet?
That's what I would say. It seems to be. Well, 1 minute. We haven't finished the discussion yet. At the moment, we're assuming that we have to understand how it works with a shtar emid ligbois. If you have a shtar which is enforceable right now, yeah? So if that's considered as if it was paid, because it's just all you have to do is get the money off him, Yeah, ha'avdu isarayu, so they already did the isar. So therefore, there's no kumase anymore. It's too late. What's the point of ripping up the contract? The ripping up the contract is not going to take away the fact that the contract was there and stay to fruition. If you're going to say that the contract calls man and hasn't been actually collected and enforced, it's not considered as enforced. Yeah, so it's a piece of paper, but they didn't actually collect the money yet. Is halayavod leklum? So they haven't done anything. What have they done wrong? They wrote down a piece of paper. Easter writing a piece of paper. Yeah. So therefore, why is it so? Is la'olam? So how can you say that the kumasei over here is ripping up the shtar? So the Gemara says la'olam kasav shtar emelig veslachugavidomi. Just because it's the contract is ready to be enforced doesn't make it as if it's enforced. Yeah. Your question was that he didn't do anything. What they did was that since it's almost going backwards to what you were saying before, that when they evaluated in the first place how much he's going to have to pay, that actually counts as doing something. So the fact that they wrote in the shtar $110 to be paid back, that's already the isser. That's a milsa. That's considered doing something. That's considered taking ribis, and therefore that's a loisasei, and the kumasei is now rip up the shtar. Yeah, but lo'ilam, there's no raya in there that anybody holds, you have to give it back. And then we say, taka hachinam mistavra. Now that you've come to that piece of logic, that actually makes more sense. That not. We learned in the Mishnah, ve'elu oivrim b'loisasei. When you have a case where someone did a transaction and collected interest, the following people have transgressed the aveira over here. The malva, the guy who lent it, the haloiva, the borrower also, if he pays interest, ha'orev, a guarantor, who's guaranteeing this case, the ha'edim, and even the witnesses on the contract, they also did an aveira. Wow, how come the witnesses did an aveira? Bishlava kulhu avud maisa. Everybody else has skin in the game, if you like, yeah? They all did something. El ha'edim ayova, what did the ha'edim do wrong? They signed a piece of paper, yeah?
What about the orev?
Well, the orev, he will come to collect the money. So he's like, instead of to give the money, he's like the loiva. The loiva and the loiva are the same thing. He obligated himself to pay interest, yeah, if the loiva hasn't got money. But the witnesses didn't do anything.
The only way they could have done something wrong is knowing about it.
Knowing? There's no loisa say that says, thou shalt not know about someone else doing something wrong.
But to sign such a contract.
Oh, one second. So what did they do wrong? Elolav shmami, no, it must be the shuma milsahi. The fact that they did the contract itself that says someone's going to pay, they brought into existence that someone's going to pay $110 is already a milsa. Not the knowing, it's the doing. The shmami no. So that's a raya that it's the shuma itself, the etzem putting together a contract, is itself the avera. Yeah, and that's why the edim are also over. Otherwise, if the only avera was when he collected the money, then the edim didn't do anything. So therefore, it's the person will see. Okay, but that's only if that counts as something. Yeah?
Of course it counts as something.
It just came to conclusion.
Interest.
It's not because they know about it, it's because they bring it into effect. And that, we didn't know that counts as the issur of interest. It's a technicality. Where is the avera of interest? Is it writing a contract that says interest, or it's collecting the money? So we thought it was collecting the money, and now it's saying, no, it's writing the contract. That's all.
But that's what I mean. Because they knew about it, they signed an agreement.
They
like
signed
that.
It. Not because they knew about it. So okay, but now we thought till now that the issur of taking interest is when you take it, and now we've discovered that the issur of taking interest is making the deal in the first place. Okay. Good. Next, Omar of Safra, Kol Sheilu Bidinehem. This is very complicated, I'm sorry. I'll try my best. If you have something... See how complicated it is? I didn't even get to know
that. You're learning that you've entered into an avera, which is an assay if we can't get malchus.
Right.
And they formulated because you've done the avera of entering the transaction,
yeah,
and you can undo it by undoing the transaction by tearing up the shtar.
Right.
What happens though when the guy lends him 100, he gives him back 100, and then gives him another 10? So then you're over the law, but where's the assay there?
There's no shtar?
There's no shtar. But then you did pay the interest.
So then he'll get malchus.
then he'll get malchus. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. The whole point of this brisa is that when there's an assay that he can do, he doesn't get malchus.
So what you're saying is
if there's no assay, there's no malchus.
Sometimes there's a libis that has got an assay to it. Sometimes there's a blending of libis that's got no assay to it. Oh, exactly.
If you can't, well, that's the whole point. If you're not mechuyev to give back the money, that's not an assay.
Well, you said the scenario is he gave it.
He gave the interest, but now the question is...
Giving back the money ain't going to help.
Well, if you tear up the star, it helps.
Because you haven't collected the money yet. So now your mamash cancelled the whole thing.
But if the interest...
You're tearing up a star that's got interest in it, so you've got an issur.
The issur is already in place.
Correct.
But now it's a lava and it's a class A.
Tearing up the star. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the fact that money actually changed.
Once you've collected the money, it's too late to have an assay.
Different stages of...
Yeah, once you've collected the money, there's no more assay. According to this...
So according to this price, Shuma Mina here, Shuma Milsahi,
yeah,
is still fixable.
Yes,
that's the whole point.
But money is far, that's right.
Exactly.
Now we're on to the
coffee. Okay, Amar of Safra, Kol She'ilu malva, any type of interest which in the Goyisha courts they would say the loiva has to pay the malva. So if it's enforceable for the borrower to pay the interest according to the Goyisha law, that is the sort of interest which we don't like. Is bidinenu marzirin? Sorry, this is the one that we have to give back. Marzirin b'malva l'loiva. That's the one that we don't like, and that's the one the malva has to give back to the loiva. Yeah, so he obviously holds like Rabbi Lozer says that you have to give back, and he says, what sort of interest do you have to give back? The sort of interest that if it was a non-Jew involved, you would have to pay. That's the sort of interest where it's two Jews, you have to give it back. We're going to discuss exactly what case we're talking about over here. But this is a statement which you have to get your head around a little bit, okay? So what is the definition of a really bad interest that you have to give back? The sort that when the goyim are involved, they'll take it to court and make you pay it. That's interest.
That's any scenario that we would imagine.
So clearly...
You would never have a problem with a Muslim about it.
Clearly that's a standard case where you owe the bank money and you owe them the interest and you refuse to pay, they would come and take you to court. So that's a case where, al pi din Torah, if someone made you pay such an interest, then you'd have to give it back. So the case of lending money and paying back extra, that's a straightforward interest. That's the easy one that I can understand. Yeah, so that's an example. We're going to talk about more complicated ones with wheat and wine and all that kind of thing. That's where my head goes spinning, but we'll try. Okay. Any interest which is so feeble that if you took him to court in the Australian Supreme Court, they would not enforce the borrower to pay the lender to pay the borrower to pay the lender, is bedinenu emarzirin malva l'loiva. So that's not really interest then. If it was really interest, the Goyisha court would enforce it. So therefore, in our situation, from the Torah court perspective, is also not considered really interest. It doesn't have to return it. Okay, so we're going to find out what this means. Amalei Abayi Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, Uklalahu, is that a rule? Let's understand this rule.
I'm wondering why it should be based on the Goyisha court.
It's not based on the Goyisha court. That is proving that this is really interest.
The rule is because we don't have this concept of interest, right? Because you don't have it, we're not supposed to have a concept. What is the yardstick to know what is interest? Look at how it happens with the goyim who do have interest. What happens with them?
What they are allowed to do is what we are not allowed to do. So therefore, the one where they would take it to court and do what they're allowed, that's where we can take it to court and undo what's not allowed. That's basically what he's saying.
We are allowed to do it with them, right?
We're allowed to do it with them, and for sure they're allowed to do it with each other, right? Okay, so now the Gemara, now Abayi asked Rabbi Yosef Uklala, who is that a general rule? La re saw besaw. The famous case of saw besaw means, I lent you a saw of wheat, I lent you a barrel of wheat, and you pay me back 6 months later. But when I lent you the barrel of wheat, it was worth $100. When you pay me back 6 months later, it's worth $200 because the price went up. Yeah? You're not allowed to do that. That's interest. Yeah? Yes. However, it's interest. It's a vak ribis. It's not Minat Torah. It's one of these fake ribis. So, besaw? No, but marbis is an achlecha means when you give him a barrel and he gives you back two barrels. Right? So besaw is a vak ribis, because you're not actually giving more, but it turns out that you're giving more value. Yeah. So saw besaw, the bedinehem mitziyim iloiva lemalva. Because saw besaw, if you took him to a goyish court and said he owes me a barrel of wheat, they would make him give him back a barrel of wheat. Yeah, because that's nothing to do with interest. It's a barrel of wheat. It's a barrel of wheat. But bedineinu, in our halachas, is also not counted. We would not require the malva to return the interest. What do you mean the interest? The barrel, the extra, the wheat that makes it, that's worth more than what it was worth before. Yeah, so what sort of a general rule is that? Is Rabbi Yosef answers him, that's different. Because inu b'teiras pikada in osali yaday. When the goyim are mag besar besar, it means the goyim, if you looked at the goyish statute, yeah, hello, I'm explaining to you something complicated here. Yeah, if the when the goyim make him pay saw besar, yeah, when they make him pay, they're not saying, oh, you've got to pay the interest. The goyim wouldn't even contemplate that this is called interest. Yeah. For a guy, if you gave him a barrel of wheat, you got to give back a barrel of wheat. It's like a picardon. It's like you gave something, give it back.
In fact, I'm wondering why, according to our law, it's considered different.
It's because it's like ribis. In our law, it's like ribis. It's ribisish.
I know.
But in the Goyish law, it's not even ribis at all.
What I'm saying is, it shouldn't be like
ribis. Okay, but it is. Well, it is. In our law, it is like ribis. But in the Goyish law, he says that's the reason why this isn't not a question on this general rule, is because in the Goyish law, it wouldn't even be called interest. It's a whole different ball game, yeah, so besar. So therefore, that doesn't break the general rule. Okay, good. Amalei Ravina, Ravashi, Ravina asked Ravashi, Varei Mashkanta, Beloina Chiyosa. So what's the deal with a mashkin? Yeah, I owe you money, and I haven't got what to pay. So what I do is, I give you my apple tree, and you, as a mashkin, a security until I get the money. So you've got control of my apple tree, and meanwhile, you eat the apples, yeah? So if you eat the apples, because the apple tree is in your backyard now, I picked up the apple tree and put it in, whatever, you take control of the apple tree. So you're eating the apples, yeah? So what happens? So according to halacha, if you're eating the apples, that becomes part of payment. It's a payment plan. So you eat the apples, you subtract it from the principal that I owe you, yeah? So that's called mashkant. Now, what happens if mashkanta below nechiyasa? What happens if you take the security and you're eating the apples, but you don't deduct it? I still owe you the full $100, even though you're eating my apples. I mean, the apples from my tree, yeah? So, Bidi Nehem, in the law of the Goyish, law of the land, they would say that's okay, that's part of the deal. You're a loiver, you have to pay extra apples, yeah?
In other words, when it comes time to pay back the original loan.
That's right. And he's still... Ignore the fact that he ate the apples all this time. The Goyish law, if the lender is eating apples, good luck for him. There's no... Yeah, the loivist has to give him that security, and if the malva gets the apples, good luck. So we take it from the borrower and give it to the lender, turn the page. Over dinenu, but for us, again, it's avak ribis. It's not real ribis. So real ribis is fixed, you know, lend 100, give back 110. In this case, it's not. It's also only ribis dust, like we said yesterday. Why? Because there might not be interest. You're not literally paying extra apples. If apples grow on the tree, he can get a fringe benefit. Yeah? Is the bedineinu, even though it's osur, ein nachzirim avalevi. Even Rabbi Lozer agrees when it's only dust, ribis dust, that you don't have to give it back. So again, it breaks your rule. Yeah? Is Amalei, so he says also, the Goyim, when they say he can keep the apples, it's not because interest. If you look at laws of interest in the law books of the state of Victoria, it doesn't say that eating the apples in that case comes under interest. What does it say? It's like he sold it to him. Yeah, it's almost like they treat it as if you sold him the tree for that amount of time, and now he sells it back when you pay back the loan. Yeah, and therefore that apples that he ate at the time when he ate the apples, he was the owner. That's how the Goyish law looks at it, and therefore it's not the Torah's interest. Yeah, what we were talking about is where the Goyim have it in the laws of interest of the state of Victoria. That's the sort of thing where you have to give it back in the halacha. So now Abaya's head's done in, and he says, "Okay, the Rabbi Joseph, thank you for all these explanations." So what's the case that it is? Well, every example I brought, you told me that's not what he's talking about. So pray tell, what is he talking about? Yeah, what is the case where the goyim would make him give it back, or give it, pay it, and that's the one where we're saying that's called interest that we have to return. Says Rabbi Yosef back to Abaya, Hachi Asa Lashminan. This is what he wants to tell you. Kol she'ilu b'dinehen mitziyam iloivu l'malve But the Neinu Machzir Malva Loiva, that whatever the Goyim call interest in their law book, and make the Malva give the Loiva, make the Loiva give the Malva. That's what we call interest in the sense that it has to be returned. It means in normal case, what are you looking for convoluted cases? It means normal interest, yeah? That the contract, when you have a contract with the bank, it says that you pay, here's the principal, and you pay this much interest, and it says that's interest. Yeah, you pay an extra 2% or 5% or whatever it is. So that is interest, where if you did that with another Jew, the Bezdin would say you have to give it back. Yeah, you're looking for, in other words, you a buyer, you jump to all the complicated cases. Just stay with the simple case. All he's telling you is that a normal case of a guy lending money and asking to have interest paid, that's in a Goyish court, that would be enforceable. And in a Jewish court, it's enforceable to give it back. Uchad Rabbi Lazar. Just like Rabbi Lazar said, that when it's ribis kitzutza, when it's a fixed, plain interest, that you borrow this much, you give back extra. That's the one Rabbi Lazar said you have to give it back, so that's what we're talking about. What's the example of kol she'ilu bidineim ein meitzi? And what's an example of where the Goyish court would not make him give it back, would not make the loiva give the malva? Bidineinu ein machzirin is ribis mukdemes and ribis mucheres. It means, we're going to learn about it later on in Dafai, and hey, if you give money ahead of time, you give money later. So it's not really part of the transaction. Yeah? So in that one, you wouldn't have to...
According to their law,
you wouldn't have to. So we don't have to give it back either. Yeah, so that's we haven't really discussed this example. Yeah, we're going to learn about it later on. What happens if I lend you money and you pay back the $100... And a year later, yeah, remembering that you lent me that money, I give you, here's an extra bit, yeah? So that's avak ribis, because it wasn't part of the transaction. We never talked about it when you lent me the money, yeah? So that one you do not have to return if you get caught out. Interesting, yes. Once you did it, it's when he says don't pay it back, it means farfalm. Paying back's not going to help. That's right. Yeah, but it means it's farfalm. You can't pay it back.
If at the end of the term you gave me a bit extra for lending you money,
yeah,
I didn't demand it. You gave it to me.
Well, it doesn't matter. You're not going to take it, though. I'm not going to give it, you're not going to take it. That's ribis. Okay, next, two dots. Ketzad.
It's saying it's not enforceable in the Goyish courts. It's not part of a deal. Why would you think it should be enforceable? I wouldn't think that,
but that's an example he's talking about.
That's not a scenario that...
So you're telling me that what Rav Safra is telling me is no chiddush, because there's nothing there that I would think is any different. Okay.
The question is, under the Goyish law, do you now have to give back the 100 itself? Or can you deduct this 10 or something that was a side transaction? According to us, it's ribis. Under them, is it ribis or isn't it ribis? Deducted, I say it's on top of the
Goyish. So you're saying, we agree, I borrow $100 from you. I just gave you $10.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to go into that case in Dafayin. Hey, let's not get stuck with it now because we'll never finish. Okay, Keitza. Don't cheat.
Have some
on. Yeah, no, you
I'm
have something to look forward to in Dafayin. Hey, Lokachem Menuchitim B'Din HaZov Akur V'Chein HaShar. So we had the case in our Mishnah. What was the case in the Mishnah? The guy stipulated, here's some money, and throughout the year, you're going to give me every month a certain amount of wheat. Halfway through the year, he says, I want all the rest of the wheat that you owe me because I want to sell it because now it's a good price and I want to take the money and I want to buy wine, which is now cheap. So the guy says to him, you know what? Let's make a cheshbon of how much wheat I owe you according to the current price of wheat, not according to what we agreed, but according to, we'll change the price in the middle of the deal, in other words, and you will now give you extra. And we'll now I'll work out how much wine that evaluates to, and I will now owe you the wine for the next 6 months. I'll give you wine instead of wheat. Is if he hasn't got the wine at the moment, then that is not allowed because he's changing the price of the wheat in the middle. Yeah. So the fact that he gave the money early means he's getting back more than he gave, which is like ribis. Yeah. So that's what we said in the Mishnah. So what are we talking about? And we said that the guy hasn't got any wine. If the guy had wine, it would be okay, because then it's like it's already given it. But if he hasn't got the wine, he can't do it. As the question is, who cares? It shouldn't depend on whether he has the wine or not. Even if he hasn't got the wine, may have it. What's the problem? You can't make such a deal with fruit unless it's a fixed price in the market, yeah? The spot price or whatever it's called. But Yotza Hashar, once there's a price in the market, is poiskin afal pi she'ein, because even if he hasn't got it, yesh lazeh. He doesn't, even if he hasn't got any wheat right now in his silo, but if the price is fixed in the marketplace, he can take the cash you're giving him and go and buy some right now. So therefore it's as if he has it. So same thing with the wine. So why does it say if he hasn't got the wine it's no good? It should say if the price of the wine is not fixed, it's no good. Here, what he's doing is, he's giving him, he didn't give him the money. Yeah, all he's doing is going straight from wheat to wine. Yeah, he's going straight from wheat to wine. He's not going through money in between. Uchidatanya, like we learned in a braisa, Haresha haya nesha b'chaveri mona. Let's say someone owes $100, v'holach v'yomar al gurnoi, and the lender goes out to the threshing floor where the guy is making his wheat, the omer, and he says to him, Tenli Moisi, you owe me $100, give me my $100. And he raised the kach behem chitim. I want to take $100, and now is a good time to buy wheat, so I want the money, give me the cash, I'll go and buy wheat with it. Amaloi, and the farmer says to him, Chitim yeshli, what do you have to go and, what do I have to give you the cash that I owe you? And you'll go and buy wheat. I've got wheat here. I'll just give you the wheat straight. Cut out the middleman. Yeah. Shani noisinloch. Go and calculate how much wheat I should give you according to the current price in the market. Vani elalacha. Kol shemus achodesh. You don't actually want all the wheat now. You want to buy it now because you want to lock in a cheap price. But the wheat you want to use all through the year. So you know what? Let's make it work out how much wheat according to the current price. $100 worth of wheat. According to the current price of wheat, and I will gradually supply you for the rest of the year. Yeah, that is osur. Why? Because he's not getting money when it's not a sale. He's not selling him the wheat, and he gives him the money, and he takes the wheat. It's a loan. Yeah, the guy owes him money. Yeah, so what's happening is I'm guaranteeing to give you that wheat. What happens if the wheat price of wheat goes up during the year? I'm going to give you extra wheat, yeah? So it's not like you paid for wheat now and you own it, and therefore if it goes up, it's yours to go up. What I'm saying is I'm obligated to give you wheat, and if the price of wheat goes up, I have to give you more expensive wheat, even though I only owed you $100, yeah? So when the price of wheat goes up, out through the year, I'm going to end up paying you $150 worth of wheat over the course of the year. Because by the time I pay it, the price will change. So that is also. The expression "lav ki istri habala yode domi." It's not like you gave him the money. Yeah, once you gave the money, it's like it belongs to the buyer, and therefore, if the price changed, it's in his hands. But over here, he didn't give him anything. All he said is, instead of the money you owe me for the loan, give me wheat. Yeah. So just like when there's no money changing hands, that's when the problem starts. Yeah. So the same thing in our Mishnah. Yeah, when he goes from wheat straight to wine without going through money on the way through, yeah, he's actually giving him more than he stipulated because he's giving him something that's more expensive. There's Omalei Abayis. So Abayis says back to whoever it was, to Rabbah, if the problem is that it's not like getting the cash and he's not paying for it and therefore it doesn't belong to him, is my Irya Ainlo. Why is that only no good if he doesn't have the wine? Afilo Yesh Lenami, even if he has the wine, it should be also no good because he didn't pay cash for it.
Is it the Ainlo and Yesh in Rashi the wine, or is it because he says, I don't have money now?
No. I'm talking about it now, Mishnah. Uh-huh. Yeah, now Mishnah, we said if he hasn't got the wine, then you can't do it. When he has the wine, he can do it. Why is it so? You're still giving him more than what you owed him. Elam or Abaya Masnisin. No, so it says the Pshat in the Mishnah is different. The Pshat in the Mishnah is Ketani Rav Safra. Rav Safra looks like he was an expert on interest because we have him all over the place here. Yeah, Rav Safra had a Braisa. Beribis de Be'er Avchia. In the Ribis lecture, they had a whole class, a whole yeshiva called the Ribis class in Rav Chia's yeshiva. The Tani Rav Safra beribis to be Rav Chia, that Rav Safra quoted a brisa that was learned in the ribis class of Rav Chia. Yesh devarim shehem mutarim. There are things that would be technically permitted, but they're forbidden because they look like ribis. They look like you're doing a ribis by stealth. Ketza, for example, Amalei halveni mona. The guy says, lend me $100. Amalei mona, ainli, I haven't got $100. Abachitim mona yeshli. I can give you $100 worth of wheat. Shani noisin loch. I'll give that to you, and you can convert it to cash if you need to. Nosin lechitim bimona. So he gave him $100 worth of wheat. Yeah? But then the guy wants cash. So he goes to the self-same person who just lent him the wheat, and he sells that wheat back to him. But he gives him a discount. V'chazav alocha nimena besim v'arba seller. Yeah, so $100 is 25 sellers.
How can you buy it off him if he didn't have the money in the first place?
No, he didn't have enough to lend him $25, but he had enough to lend him 24. Yeah, so he gives him $25 worth of wheat, and he buys it back for $24. That's mutter. So technically, that's not interest. That would be permitted. It's mutter, but it's also. The Osterlasses came and they have Roma strippers. It looks like you're cheating. Yeah? It looks like because you lent him the money, he's giving you. You're giving him more wheat. Yeah, you're giving him more wheat than the cash. Yeah? You're giving him 24. You're giving him. He now owes you $25, right? Because you're selling him $25 of wheat. So he owes you $25 and you gave him $24. That, so it looks like ribis, even though it isn't, because it's through Salem.
Gave him a discount.
No, the borrower is giving the lender now a discount. Yeah, so technically that's okay, because it's buying and selling. But in practice, what's happening is, the lender is giving him $24, and he's getting back $25. So that's no good. There's here also, and our Mishnah, what's the pshat in the Mishnah? The guy says, lend me $30. He says, I haven't got $30. I have $30 worth of wheat. I'll give it to you. So he gives him $30 worth of wheat, and he pays him $30. And he buys it back for $25. That's the same thing. Yeah. So now he gave him $25, and he's getting back $30. Is he Isle Chamra Leloive? If the borrower has wine, the Yohev Lebishleshim dinner, he gives him $30 worth of wine. So if Yeshloi, that's what we said, it was okay. If he has the wine, is Peiruhu the Shokel Benavel Aslambo. So he's just giving him, he gave him $30 of wheat, and he gives him back $30 worth of wine. So there's no problem there. Yeah? The Eloi, let's just finish this. The Eloi, and if he hasn't got any wine, Kivim the Lesle Chamra, so he hasn't got wine, is Vadal Mishkazuzimine. So he's going to take money. He's going to take him $30 and give him back 25 as Mexican ribis. So then it looks like interest. So therefore, says Abaya, that's the pshat in the Mishnah where it's no good. Is Amalei Rava. So Rava says to him, that's very nice, but how can that be the case in the Mishnah? If that was the case, Ihachi, when the Mishnah says ten lichiti, when the guy, the words in the Mishnah are, the guy says, give me the wheat, give me my wheat. As he doesn't have wheat. He wants money. He's trying to borrow money. It's the mechiti mi boyle. Just say, give me money. Yeah? So he says, tani the mechiti. Okay, change the words of the Mishnah to say money. So he says, okay, but the next thing he says, I need moichur, and I want to sell the wheat. So that's not what he's doing over here. He's already sold it to him. Shemachartim lach mi boyle. Should say, the wheat that I sold you. So he says, okay, change the words to tani shemachartim lach. So the next bit is that the lender says to the borrower, "Harechi techa suyus alai b'shleishim dinim, that your wheat will make a cheshbin of $30." Yeah, is what do you mean? May $30? May koranami hachol k'minu luya. That was according to your explanation, Abaya. We started with wheat with $30, so why is that coming again? Make a cheshbin of $30. That was the cheshbin in the first place. So he says, "Hachi karmalei." What he means to say is, "B'demeichi techa suyus alai b'shleishim dinim." Yes, for the value of that wheat which you already organized with me for $30. We're converting it now to wine. $30 worth of wine. He hasn't got any wine. So the problem is, the Mishnah says that it was for $25 a kor, and the price is fixed. Yeah? So if the price is fixed, it shouldn't matter if he has a wine or not. Hello, my Rava. So Rava says, "Bye, sorry, that can't be pshat in the Mishnah." And therefore says Rava, "Kishachivna Rabbeisha Nafik Lavasi." When I drop dead, Rabbeisha is going to come to my funeral. Why? Because I'm going to explain the Mishnah top of the page. The Mataratz, the Maslisim Kavasei. I'm going to explain the Mishnah according to Rabbeisha, which we will do tomorrow to see what Rabbeisha's case is. And Rava will say that our Mishnah is talking about the same case as Rabbeisha.